Jones Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, then. What's cracking? We are into hour number two, a tremendous Friday to you. My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Your telephone number, once again, is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. Before I bang telephone calls, as promised, we're joined right now by a running back for the San Francisco 49ers. He had 73 yards from scrimmage, a couple of TDs in Sunday's win over Seattle. He has scored a TD in six straight games, averaging 5.6 yards per carry, most among NFL running backs with at least 100 rushing attempts. For the year, 772 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns, 14 special teams tackles. He is a two-time recipient of the 49ers Community Relations Family Service Award. He was undrafted out of Purdue in 2015. San Francisco has the top seed in the NFC. They've got a bye this weekend. Raheem Mostert is my guest. Raheem, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Man, I'm great. That's quite an open for you. Hey, listen, take me back to Sunday night. You're going on the road with a chance to win the division and wrap up the top record in the NFC. So what was the mood like among the players before the game?
The mood was, look, we got to go in here. We got to handle business. We got to get this win so that way we can get this one seed back and, you know, get a bye week as well. Our mindset basically was that championship mindset. If we want to go all the way, you know, we just got to do the little things and take care of this win. With the last regular season game. So we just came in and, you know, he started falling pretty hot. Next thing you know, it just started taking over.
That's right. Next thing you know, you jump out to a 13-0 lead in the first half. Then it was 13-7 in the third quarter when you scored your first TD. What did you see on that play and how good did it feel to get into the end zone and extend that lead?
Oh, man, I saw a lot of things. I saw the line blocking very well, you know. I saw Kittle go out there, and he basically bluffed, like, three guys to get out of the way and make a hole for me, and not too many people noticed that when he was in motion. And then I followed my fullback, Juice, and he had a great block on one of the corners, and then I saw a hole, and I just hit it. And it just felt great just getting into the end zone again, and especially in a hostile environment like Seattle. Where it's just nothing but loudness everywhere. So, like I said, it felt good, and it was just a great moment right there.
Raheem Mostert joining us. It's a really hostile environment. That is a tough, tough place to play. And then coming down late, Seattle makes it 26-21, and then after a punt, they go on a 15-play drive that takes them to fourth and goal from just outside the five. Mm-hmm. What was going through your head on the sideline at that point?
Not again, you know, especially that moment where we had with the Falcons early on in the season, a couple weeks prior to the game. Julio caught that amazing catch, and the ball crossed the plane. So in the last couple seconds of the game, so my whole entire thought process was, oh, man, here we go again. You know, defense got to hone in on their craft and do a really good job, you know, with all their coverage, and they actually got it done. And I wasn't too necessarily shocked that the defense held them, you know, like I said, because they were already battle-tested, and so it just worked out phenomenal.
Dre Greenlaw made that big play, so the defense comes through. Let me ask you this. What's it mean to you, though, to have a couple of touchdowns and have a huge game with the division and the number one seed on the line?
You know, it was a lot. A lot of emotion actually came out towards the end of the game, after the game, because, you know, this is my first ever playoff appearance in my career. You know, I've been on seven different teams, six prior, and it was just one of those things where, man, you know, like, this journey is just going forever, and, man, I'm just writing my own book. So, you know, like I said, it was a lot of emotion coming out of that game. Just trying to, like I said, trying to fight for that first seed, and then also the first round bye. It was one of those games where, you know, I just had to give it all on the line and do my best the best way I can. So, like I said, it was a roller coaster of emotions. But after the game, I really felt the emotions.
Raheem Mostert joining us. You know, I want to talk to you because you guys had that number one seed and you had a huge game, but I do want to talk to you because of the journey that you mentioned, because your journey to this point really is amazing. A former NFL player turned analyst, Emmanuel Acho, tweeted the other day, quote, "I remember Raheem as a rookie in Philly. He was discouraged because he didn't make the squad and everybody viewed him as a track guy. He kept the faith, he kept working, and now he's balling for the world to see." End quote. It's a really strong tweet. So what do you remember about those days as a rookie back in Philly?
You know, man, it's funny you say that because Acho, man, that was my guy. He helped me, you know, understand the game. And, you know, he has a brother that I also played with in Chicago. So I was very, very familiar with the Acho brothers. And, yeah, coming in, man, you know, one of my biggest supporters and stuff like that, you know, trying to find my way throughout the league is Darren Sproles. Not too many people know that he was actually my mentor when I came in. And I've always looked up to Darren Sproles, even when he was with the Chargers. And him and Drew Brees, you know, I got that connection because of the Boilermakers. So watching Drew Brees and stuff, I was always a big fan of him and Sproles. So when I got the chance to sit down with Sproles, man, he just gave me a lot of lessons, life lessons and football lessons, you know, like, hey, don't ever be discouraged or, you know, your journey, your book has never been fully written yet. You still got pages that needs to be inserted into the book, and telling me all these things, man, that just helped me grow. And I was basically a sponge when I was there in Philly when I first started out. Like I said, we had these little workshops, they called them mentality workshops, and we had to get a partner, and I chose Darren Sproles, and he was okay with me, you know, being his partner, and we just did workshops and stuff like that and talked through, you know, what type of things that trigger him, and, you know, I got to learn some stuff about him, and he also got to learn some stuff about me, and he, like I said, he was always underestimated, and everybody didn't think he could play because of how short he was, but one thing that he always told me was, hey, don't ever believe what everybody's telling you. You know, you always believe yourself, believe in yourself, and have the faith that, you know, you can keep going no matter what. I've always stuck by that, and now it's paying dividends, you know, 5 years later.
Raheem Mostert joining us. What a great answer. I love that notion of a mentality workshop. But just so the folks understand this, Raheem, Philadelphia was the start of the journey, but it included stops in Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, New York, and Chicago. All told, it was six teams in 17 months. So you might have had this mindset, but emotionally, what was it like to go through that experience?
Oh, man, you know, it was after that, I would say after the Dolphins, when I had got released, I became immune to, you know, being cut. And so my whole mindset was, hey, I know I'm good enough to play in this league, at least for special teams. So let me just prove to everyone what I can do. And I went into Baltimore, top leading in kick return and, you know, making plays on special team, being effective as best as I can, trying to block punts and stuff like that. But it was one of those things where, hey, you know, I got to take it up a notch. And that's what I tried to do at the running back position. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't have the same eye to eye that I did. And it didn't work out. And so this year when we were able to play Baltimore, I felt like it was more of like a chip on my shoulder and, you know, not so much a revenge game, but, you know, to make them feel what they've been missing out 5 years later. It felt great. And like I said, it was one of those things where I knew I'm able to play in this game. I have the confidence in myself, and I need an opportunity, and that's what I've been able to get here.
So let me ask you this then. You finally get the opportunity that you've been looking for. You come to San Francisco, you're on the practice squad, then the full roster, and then you establish yourself as a critical special teams player. You start to see some action as a running back last year, and then finally, you sign a 3-year extension in March. Given everything you went through to get to this point, what did it mean to you to have earned that extension?
Man, it felt great. You know, just like anyone else would say, it felt great. But for me, it's more than just, you know, the fact that I got a deal. It was more so I'm still able to play this game that I love. You know, I'm still able to meet new guys that come on the team, or I'm able to, you know, connect with the guys that are already on the team. So I'm just really blessed and thankful to be in a position that I am. You know, it took a long time, but, you know, I always tell people, man, hard work pays off at the end. And, you know, if you're in a dark tunnel, there's always going to be light towards that end, the end of the tunnel. You just got to believe in yourself. And that's one thing that I was always, you know, serious about, is always believing in myself no matter what. And I also have a great family. You know, my wife, she does an unbelievable job. Her mentality is the same as mine. You know, never quit on your dreams. And if you want to go after something, go after it full steam ahead no matter what. There's always going to be some downfalls, but you'll be all right.
Such
that's
great
our attitude in our family.
But what a great attitude. I love the positivity. One last thought about the team. Now, you beat New Orleans in their house. You beat Seattle in Seattle. You gave Baltimore all they could handle on the road. From the outside, it seems like this team is really battle-tested. How would you describe, then, the mental and physical toughness of this team?
Man, you know, going through these past couple years with this team, you know, it just made us greater than what most people see us as. We're a close-knit group. We all hang out with each other. We all do great things with each other and stuff like that. We go have a good time and, you know, cherish every moment with each other. You know, even with the plane rides and stuff like that, we're all, you know, honing in on not only the game, but, you know, the brotherhood, the leadership, everything that goes into effect. It started, like I said, 2 years ago when we were 4-12 or something like that, and then, I don't know, 6-10, and then 4-12 last year, you know. So we've been battle-tested already. You know, coming into those close games the past 2 years, we would have had a better record than what we got, but it was one of those things where we know we're good. We're good enough to play with anyone. Now it's time for us to, you know, show the world what we can do, and this year, you know, we were able to do that. Now we're 13-3. We're number one seed. It took a lot for us to get to this point, but we made it, and you know, we got that confidence in ourselves that we feel like nobody can really beat us. At the only people that can beat us is ourselves. And that's our attitude.
The Niners do have that number one seed. They've got to buy this weekend. They earn both those things. Raheem Mostert having a huge season. Raheem, I really appreciate the conversation. More than that, I appreciate you personally. Great to have you on the show. Raheem, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Go Niners.
Really enjoyed that. What a tremendous guy. Easy to see also how he's a two-time recipient of the 49ers Community Relations Family Service Award. He has had a big, big year, and he's earned everything he's gotten. That team has earned everything it's gotten. And I appreciate the relationship with the 49ers. They're coming up big as a jungle team. They are the top seed in the NFC, arguably the team to beat in the conference, and they've got a bye this weekend. All right, we will take a short timeout. That's a great start to hour number two. Coming up later on this hour, Green Bay Packer, Blake Martinez. It is a short week. I'd love to get you up in here. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Your telephone call is coming up next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
The Niners are an amazing jungle team right now. Top seed in the NFC. They've got the bye. And that was a really good conversation. My thanks to them. Remember, Saturday night on CBS, the NFL playoffs are in prime time. Ryan Tannehill leads the Titans into Foxborough for a date with the defending champs. Tennessee takes on New England Saturday night. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on CBS. I've got thoughts on the Pats, which I will try to get to later on. All right, going back to last hour, we had that phone call from Mutt in L.A. The problem with a number of you is you heard who the call was from, Matt in L.A., and you clicked off. and you missed an amazing phone call because you thought it was Matt in L.A., but it wasn't Matt in L.A. And you should have known that when I said, Mutt. Who's Mutt? What's Mutt? What's that about? A number of you are like, oh, great. Matt in L.A. Click. And you bounced. And because you bounced, you missed an iconic phone call. This tweet is from Mailman Casey. Quote, war Mutt in L.A. That was freaking hilarious.
Ladies, mujeres, if you're mesmerized by the menagerie of man candy and the Mutt in L.A. montage, then holla at your boy. You know where to find me. Down on my knees, neck deep in some toilet I'm having to unclog because some Delta Bravo frat boy jammed a big old turd in the pipes.
It's amazing. Right? I mean, that is amazing. And not only did Vic and NoCal make that call and pretend to be Mutt in L.A., he passed along a video montage of Mutt in L.A. A fully produced phone call for TV and radio. At Jeremy Lanza tweets, best call by Mutt ever. Downside is we may get a follow-up by Matt. Stay down, Matt.
Since the days when horse racing was a bet, not a sport, when MMA was human cockfighting, and when NASCAR was just a bunch of guys named Dale and Ricky turning left for 5 hours, Romy, since the days when you would call the man Ray Knight, Ray Lopez, because his wife Nancy was better at her job than he was at his, your boy Mutt in L.A. has had your back, pimp.
Actually, about Ray Knight, that's true. I did say that back in the day. Because, frankly, she was better at her job than he was his. The problem is, Ray Knight was also very good at boxing. Like, he was a great amateur boxer. And when that worked its way back to him, he said, you know what, Rome? How about you and I settle this like men? Why don't we box? I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. He didn't like that. At Liz in Fall City tweets, incredible, fantastic call. Wow.
If there's one thing I know, it's crap. I clean it up all day long. Plus, I'm a Raiders fan.
Ed Hitman Canadian tweets, Mutt in L.A. Just put Matt in L.A. on death row. Great work, Vic. All that was missing was a Belly Clarkson reset.
I wish I could go on smacking No Gal Vic all day long, but aloha means a hola, as in, I got a whole lot of toilets to clean up.
Jeremy in Green Bay on Twitter, quote, not that we need any more fake clone callers, but if you promise to only take calls from the fake Mutt in L.A. going forward, we clones would appreciate it.
War, it's Red Eisenhower riding to work in one of those old school bicycles where the front wheel is all big and the back one is all tiny. Outro.
That's funny because that's something he would say. He's constantly warring Ike. Rit Eisenhower. And that is something he'd say. War Rit riding one of those old school bicycles with a giant tire in the front and a tiny one in the back. Email. Dear Jim, I remember when Vic and NoCal first started calling the show. I thought that he was great back then. Man, he is like fine wine. He is just getting better with age.
From the prison warden's office to Warsaw, Poland. From the maximum security wing to Madagascar. From cell block B to Casablanca. You're welcome.
Leon Hartford. You gotta admit, man. You know, obviously I have no issue with Matt or I wouldn't take his phone call all the time. But I gotta say, he sounds more like Matt than Matt sounds like Matt. This guy's got a different take. Rome, holy crap. Is Vic back? He made a resolution, upped his game, and just smashed Matt in L.A. As you once told Hawk, stay down, bro. But we all know he'll show in hour three. Jim in Chicago. It's not going to take him that long. There's no way it takes Matt until hour three to respond. Minute three, maybe. 3 seconds, maybe. Caleb in Green Bay is in. You know, it's always a surefire or a telltale sign that it's a good contribution when the other legends react. Caleb in Green Bay tweets, if Matt lacks the self-awareness to stop calling after what DA did to him in the smack-off, nothing Vic does will make a difference. Like I said, when somebody says he'll be in hour number three, hour number three, dude, it's going to take this guy 3 minutes to call. It'll take this guy 3 seconds to call. If this guy's not already on line three, I'd be shocked. All right. 1-800-636-8686. Banging telephone calls. Lots to get done. Blake Martinez of the Packers is coming up next segment. Let's go to San Antonio. Like I said, the legends are out today. Gino in San Antonio. Gino, Happy New Year. What's up, man? How are you? He's gone. That's our fault. My bad, Gino. We'll get you back on. I'll skip you to the front of the line. That's what happens when a guy with a gigantic head sits in a seat with a guy in place of a guy who has a much smaller head, but a wicked handle. I'm not putting that on you, flight deck. I'll get him back. There he is. Gino, sorry about that. What's up, man? Happy New Year.
That's all right. Got my first hang up from Rome of the 2020 season. I love it. I was actually on hold while Vic was doing that, and that was so good that I had no idea until about halfway through that that wasn't actually Matt. I was like, why is Matt parodying himself? That was genius. You know, I know when I hear Rome say Matt in L.A. is on the line, I already know what the punchline is. I'm just trying to figure out what the setup is. Vic, thank you for providing it very well. Well played, VIC. Romy, I heard you say something yesterday. I've never heard anybody, and I'm pretty confident nobody's ever said these words before. You said best trip you've ever taken was to Lubbock. That's just not true, Rome. I know you love Coach. I know you love the program, but come on, man. Stop that. So, listen, I wanted to talk to you about David Stern. When he walked into any situation, he was always the smartest guy in the room. And the thing is, I think he thought he was the smartest guy in the room too, but he really was. And I know that back in the day when I heard that he was going to be getting interviewed by you, I'd basically go into smack off listening mode, planning a lunch or working on a cough so I wouldn't miss it, because your interviews with Stern were definitely destination radio. Love him or hate him, David Stern is on the Mount Rushmore of sports commissioners. And without his work, San Antonio clones, you may not know this, but without his work on the ABA-NBA merger, there might not even be a San Antonio Spurs and 5 championships. So rest in peace, David Stern. And lastly, Rome, I want to talk about Jerry Jones and his care and respect package that he's rolling out, more like pink slip in the door. You know, I like how Jerry Jones is working this, and I think he's doing it on purpose. Because you remember a couple of weeks ago, Jason Garrett started talking to the public about how he would like to maybe coach the Giants one day. That could not have gone over very well with Jerry Jones. That's kind of like after a bad fight with your wife, she starts telling friends, you know, I wouldn't mind waking up next to Bob across the street, the dentist. You know, even if you're contemplating a move, that's not what you want to hear. In the back of my mind, I can easily imagine Jerry Jones holding on to Garrett just to screw with his chances of landing a gig. And I'm actually surprised he doesn't just roll this for like another 2 weeks through the contract, because the OC from Arkansas State or whatever college Jerry's going to get his next coach from, he's not going anywhere. So I'm not sure how long Jerry Jones is going to be in, stay in this next phase mode, but Nancy Pelosi thinks you're stringing it out, bro. Thanks, Romy. Eat kids.
Eat kids, Gino. Rack him. Good job, Gino. Nice to have you back. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back. All right, so you got two legends of the program. Vic has won a smack-off. Gino has always had the game to win a smack-off, but does not choose to participate every single year, but he's always welcome to do so. Gino is one of those guys who has a lifetime exemption to the smack-off after having never won one. He's got that kind of game. Anybody else? I could use another legend or two. When we come back, though, Packers linebacker Blake Martinez just set a single-season record for tackles by a Packer linebacker. An amazing stat. And he joins me next.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, more telephone calls coming up in a minute. It's been a huge telephone day. And plenty more of that came from toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. It is Wild Card Weekend. This guy's not playing this weekend. They've got a bye. They earned it. We're joined by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, coming off a huge game. He had 7 tackles and a sack and a pass defense and an interception in Sunday's win over Detroit. He set the Packers' single-season record with 203 tackles this season. Third straight season that he's led that team in tackles. He is the Packers' nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year. He was the 131st pick overall in 2016 out of Stanford. The Packers are 13-3, and they've got a bye this weekend. Blake Martinez is back on the program. Blake, Happy New Year. Great to have you. How are you?
Doing well. We just got done with our kind of final practice of the week, and now we get the next 2 days off to kind of watch the games.
Hey Blake, how nice is that? I mean, you certainly earned it, but this time of year to get that bye, to take in all the action, to kind of rest your body, rest your mind, how critical is that this time of year?
Oh, extremely critical. I think especially for guys kind of nursing little injuries throughout the season, especially for me, I had my broken hand for the past couple weeks and trying to basically get rid of the cast moving into next week.
I was going to ask you about that club on your hand. In fact, I will in a minute. But if we were to go back to Sunday, you're playing the Lions in their house, and the game did not get off to the best start. In fact, you were down 17-3 at halftime. I'm curious, what was the mood like in the locker room at halftime, and what was said between the players and the coaches?
Yeah, I think the interesting aspect of halftime was that nobody was doing some crazy rah-rah speech or anything. It was just everybody understood that we were trying to do too much. We were trying to make too many plays outside of our zone, outside of our gaps, whatever it ended up being. And we just needed to lock in on the details moving forward. And once we did that, I think we held them to 67 yards and 3 points in the second half and played the way we knew we should play.
Packers linebacker Blake Martinez is my guest. And then, Blake, with less than 9 minutes to go, the Lions had the ball in your 44. You came up with an enormous sack. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to get home like that?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely felt good. It was just a normal man coverage type call, and I was off the back. And right when I saw him try to scan for protection, I went and blitzed. Beat the back, and obviously Zadarius had great pressure on the play, and I just kind of finished off the play after he got free.
All right, so what about the very next play? You come up with a huge interception. You described it as one of those slow motion moments. So what's it like when you're feeling it unfold in slow motion like that, and you get the pick with that club on your hand, by the way, and it goes on to change the entire game? So what's that moment like?
No, that was a special moment, especially I think it was a week prior to that. There was an opportunity to get an interception in practice, and I hit it off my club, and it just, like, ricocheted right in the air. And it was kind of a funny moment watching film. And so to be able to go out in the game and catch it at that moment, and like I said, or like you said, it was the slow-mo type thing for me, and made the play and instantly got out of bounds because I did not trust myself holding the ball in my cast hand.
We're talking to Blake Martinez. Actually, you did say that, and I said that you said that, but you're right. Now, the offense turned the interception to 7 points. That tied the game and then went on an 8-play drive in the final 80 seconds for the game-winning field goal. It's not like you haven't seen that before, but I'm curious, knowing what was on the line, what was going through your head as that final drive did unfold?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those moments, you know, being able to get the ball once again back to the offense, especially 12. It's one of those crucial moments in our season. Like you said, it was a lot on that drive and a lot on the game to be able to have the opportunity to have this bye week. And like everybody knows, you trust 12 to go out there and set us up for an awesome kick. And Mason Crosby, once again, having an amazing year and kicking it through the uprights and getting us the win.
He did. He hit that 33-yard field goal to win that game and gave you that first-round bye. Blake, you mentioned Zadarius Smith, and he played a role in both the sack and then the interception. After the game, he was talking about the brotherhood on defense and knowing that each guy on the defense has everybody else's back. How important is that brotherhood out on the field, and how does that kind of manifest itself on the field?
No, it's special. I think this is one of the greatest groups I've ever been around, just culture-wise, and just the willingness to never want to let the other person down, and the trust factor across the board. And it started during OTAs, and to be able to have that moving through each week and getting better each week has been special, and it just causes us to make those plays that normal defenses that don't have that aren't able to make.
Blake Martinez is my guest. You know, Blake, the win meant that you're now 6-1 in games, decided by 7 points or less. Like, what's to say about that team that it continues to come through time and time again in clutch situations?
Yeah, I think it's been our motto all year is don't blink. And it's those moments in games, whether it's on the offensive side, special teams, or defense, that whenever it comes to that critical moment to make a play, either a turnover, a sack, a touchdown, a big play or a big punt to get us inside the five, or a good kickoff, we always have it at the right times. And it's just the type of guys that we have all across the board that, like I said earlier, we don't want to let each other down, and we always want to make those plays.
We're talking to Packers linebacker Blake Martinez. I mentioned this off the top, but this number really is mind-boggling to me. You set the Packers' single-season record with 203 tackles. Now, there have been some absolutely legendary Packers who played that position. What does it mean to you, and what's it feel like to know that you've got that record?
No, it's extremely special. I get kind of chills thinking about it, just like you said, where this franchise has been around for over 100 years, and to be able to be in the record books for that, for tackles, and all the guys that kind of came before me. It's incredible, and it's something I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
You know, Blake, you and I have talked for a couple of years now since you've been in the league, but when you consider that record, how much have you grown as a player from when you first came into the league, and what's the biggest difference now in your game from when you first arrived out of Stanford?
Yeah, I think it's just the football IQ has been something that's just skyrocketed for me since I came out of Stanford, just in the aspect of understanding formations, understanding personnel, understanding where they're trying to go, whether it's first, second, third down, how teams are trying to move formations to make it look like a certain thing, whatever it ends up being. And then also on the other side, for me, pre-snap is being able to get guys in the right spot because of that understanding from checks, from communication, for the back end and the front end. And I think that's what's caused me to be able to make all those tackles and all those plays.
He's a Stanford man, Green Bay Packer, joining us for a few more moments. Blake Martinez, my guest. You know, you recently said that Bobby Wagner is actually a guy that you've watched for a long time and kind of tried to learn from him. As good as he is, Blake, I'd argue that he still does not get the respect that he deserves. What do you like about him and his game?
Yeah, he's the best, in my opinion. He's the guy that can do it all. He gets his guys lined up from the start of the snap, and then once the snap happens, he recognizes the play. He recognizes run-pass keys extremely well, can't get blocked, can blitz, can cover, can get in zones, and do really anything a defensive coordinator wants an inside linebacker to do. And so you want to look at that type of guy to kind of mold your game after, and he's just a special player.
Blake, I understand that you got a lot of work ahead of you, and there's a lot of team goals still in front of you. But as you look at this, on top of the tackles record, you were also named the team's nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year. What does that distinction, that honor, mean to you?
Oh, it means, I think that one means the most to me, just in the aspect of the reasonings behind why I'm doing it, where it all comes from. My best friend and elementary school passed away from bone marrow cancer in his knee. It's just one of those things that is near and dear to my heart to be able to go out there and be that role model for kids going through tough times, for anyone really going through tough times. And then also on the other aspects, being able to see those kids go through everyday life with just their difficulties, their everyday conflicts, and just have a smile on their face. I think it's just something special for people to witness, especially me, when I'm having a down time or a bad day, to just remind myself of that and just to snap out of it and know that it's going to get better.
You know, it's such a great thing and good for you. Like, who are some of the people who inspire you to be as active and as involved in the community as you have been and are?
Yeah, I think for me, it's not certain people that are doing it. I think it's the people within the events or the activities that I'm doing. I think I went to special needs, basically K through 12 school, and got to play with the kids for basically, I think, 2 hours. And it was just, it was incredible to see the type of people they were and how happy they were, regardless of their situation. And I think that just keeps giving me motivation every day to want to accept any event or do any type of charitable thing that I can, because I want to be able to put that smile on those kids' faces or on anybody's faces.
Hence, the team's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, Blake Martinez, my guest. Blake, before you go, you mentioned this at the top, but at this time last year, the season was over. Now you've got a bye before playing next week. So how do you go about approaching this week and the upcoming weekend? I mean, do you watch the games? Do you completely unplug? What's your approach?
No, I'll definitely be watching the games. And I think for me, it's just working on little things for my body. It's not too much heavy lifting or too much stretching or too much relaxing. It's a good balance of getting those little tweaks out and just ready to go for a great week of practice next week leading into our game.
And then finally, in terms of the team itself, when the defense is clicking the way that it is and was in the second half, and the offense is rolling the way you know they can, how much do both units feed off each other, and then how good can this group be?
Oh yeah, I think you kind of hit it. We've had moments in games, there are spans in games where we're both clicking on both sides, and Aaron's coming off and saying, hey, give me the ball back. I want to get 5 touchdowns today. And we instantly give him the ball back, and we're just kind of firing on both cylinders. And if we can do that, it's going to be a fun run for us moving forward.
The Packers are 13-3. They've got that bye this weekend. Linebacker Blake Martinez coming off a huge regular season. Blake, I appreciate you and the conversation very much. Thanks so much for making time and coming back on the program.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks again for having me.
You got it, Blake. Thank you so much. Blake Martinez, as I mentioned, has been coming on the show for the last few years. Good Stanford man. 131st pick overall, and he is now the single-season record holder for the Packers with 203 tackles. Sure, summer assisted. 200-plus is 200-plus. That's a mind-boggling number. 203 tackles. Who you got this weekend? Wild card weekend. Let me check out the current odds. Did you get down? Flight Deck, you and I got to get together. Can you get your big ass head wrapped around these numbers, Flight Deck? James Kelly, man, he's like, my man is like a prodigy. Let's see what we got here. Texans, -3 over the Mafia. I love that matchup. Love that matchup. Here's what I like about Buffalo. We know they're playing defense. We know they can get home. We know they make plays. We know they've got some playmakers in that secondary. The other thing I like about Buffalo, Josh Allen is taking care of the football better than he was earlier. He's making fewer mistakes. He is a key. He is a key. And you know you can throw the balls against the Texans. You know you can throw the ball against them. Still a tough matchup. Texans, -3. Pats, -5 over the Titans. The Titans never win in Foxborough. Except the Patriots are not what they used to be. And neither are the Titans. That's a really interesting matchup right there. Pats, -5. Saints, -8. Over Minnesota, that's a hell of a lot of points. Understandably so. Not a good matchup for Minnesota. And a lot riding on that game. In fact, if they get beat, you wonder about Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer's got a year left on his contract. You know he has ties to the Cowboys organization. That's one of the names that's come up there. So if they get beat in the first round, and frankly they should, they don't play so well on the road, and they really don't play so well on the road against good teams, you wonder about Mike Zimmer. Seahawks -2.5 at Philly. I got to be honest with you. I like the Seahawks. Normally, you might take that home favorite, or that home dog, I should say. I like Seattle on the road in that game. I don't fully trust Philly, and I fully trust Russ Wilson. Who you got? Who you like? Let's go to hour number 3. Lots of content still left. In fact, I've got a ton of program for you. Phone lines are wide open. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and we are coming right back.